Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Thank you. That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. And we always, every week, try to live up to his high standards of hosting a discussion of current events laced with empathy, intelligence, humor, and, of course, progressive persuasion. Although Brian's concept was less is more, more or less, in reality, we really could never get enough of Brian's magic in our lives. So here we are. And again this week, we are blessed with some old hands you know well and some new friends that you want to meet. So first of all, former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, recovering back surgery patient, and West Texas devotee Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also, historian, skipper of the Vashona, president of the Vashon Heritage Museum, and most importantly, guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Hallman is with us today. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, good to be here. Although I got to admit, being guardian of the galaxy is getting more challenging every day.
It doesn't look like it's wearing you out yet.
It's getting close.
Okay. You have to raise a white flag maybe at some point if it gets really bad. Also joining us today, we have advocate, arbitrator, mediator, Fulbright specialist, and former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, Craig Bellis. Good day, Craig.
How you doing, Kevin? Good to be here again.
Doing well. Good to see everybody. Now, this week, our special small talk guests are Susie Murphy and Jenna Riggs of the Indivisible Vashon Immigrant Refugee Rights Group. Good morning, Susie, and good morning, Jenna.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having
Jenna.
Us.
Hey, Susie, good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
All right. Hey, we're all here together to have another awesome edition of the Brown Briefly. My name's Kevin Jones, just in case you have forgotten since last week. Indivisible Vashon and the Vashon Climate Action Group, who collectively we strive to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. So I'd like to dive right in by inviting a moment of introspection about our Vashon world. And Truman, what's going on with you in your corner of Vashon?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm recovering from back surgery, and people keep asking, are you getting better? Are you getting better? And I keep thinking, oh man. Well, I finally figured out the answer. The answer is, compared to a month ago, I'm like way better. but compared to last week, I'm just a little bit better. So yeah, I'm progressing, but it's a slow, slow, slow process. And I did go for a long walk yesterday, and I woke up this morning sore, both my arms and my legs, since I'm using those trekking poles, to walk. So, but anyway, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay. And I assume you're not bothering to compare to like now and 6 months ago, right?
Oh gosh, no.
No, don't. Yeah, don't let it cross your mind.
No, I'm way, way, way better than that. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Hey, Bruce, how are things from the shores of Ellisport?
Oh, just doing great. In fact, yesterday it was just, I've never seen this before, but there was a flock of probably 35, maybe more, I didn't get a good chance to count, of loons.
Really?
At KPI Beach. You see the occasional loon or a pair of loons, and you hear them at night occasionally. But to see that large a flock, in almost 50 years of living here in Ellisport, I have never seen that before. So I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, but it's something. Something's changing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have a quick animal update. I should have thrown this out. Coming back on the ferry yesterday from Tacoma. There was a large whale. We don't know if it was a gray or a humpback, but several people, I obviously didn't get out and walk up there because I can't, but a lot of folks did, and they said it was huge. So yeah, I see you nodding, Bruce. Do you know about that?
Well, if you're part of that whale network, you can sign up for it and they give you alerts. Apparently there's been a humpback at the South End, you know, for almost 2 weeks now, on and off.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah, they've seen it fairly frequently, but they are magnificent, and they are big.
I had one go under my boat down there on the South End 1 year when I had my smaller boat, and he was, like, way bigger than us, way bigger. Right. It was pretty impressive.
Overall length and tonnage has probably exceeded
indeed,
your boat.
Indeed, indeed.
All right. Hey, Craig, I was near the Vashon post office just last week, and I saw a fellow who looked just like you in a very interesting looking sports car.
Wasn't me. No, it was me. I was there doing a little mailing in the new little BMW 2002. Enjoying that car very much. I picked it up in Missoula here a couple weeks ago. You know, I didn't see a flock of loons, Bruce, but every week I see three other loons that I can count. I can count on just about during this hour.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
What are we talking about? Yeah. No, I went flying this week. My son was up from Ashland, and we went flying. Somebody's got to fly the plane, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I was up there. We were flying around. It was right in the worst part of the smoke. And when I got up over 2,000 feet and I couldn't see the ground anymore, I thought maybe we should land this thing. Yeah. And then I came in, and I was, Truman has been kidding me. I came in, and it's like when you're skiing in the fog. It's a little hard to tell where your skis are, you know. Well, it's a little hard to tell where your landing gear were as you were coming into Vashon, which is difficult enough to begin with. But it all worked out fine. I didn't leave any parts on the runway.
You found the ground.
I found the ground.
Yeah.
And then I've been dealing with another airplane issue. I have a scammer who we're selling our old propeller, and I got one of these fellas on who wants to send me a cashier's check for, you know, multiple times the amount of money he wants to pay, and then me pay him back, you know, before the cashier's check clears, that whole deal. And so in the process, somebody stole my, you know, credit card number. So I had to go through changing all, you know how much fun that is with all the automatic pays and everything, you know, you can start from scratch. So I'm having a joyous week. No.
sorry we asked.
Yeah, really. I'm sorry you reminded me. Yeah. No, actually, life is good. The sun's coming out, although I guess we're going to have our fair share of rain starting on Friday.
Yep.
So. Somebody said the rain switch is going to turn on, and it looks like it's going to stay on for at least a week.
Yeah. Yep.
So my trees are all, like, anxiously waiting.
We've got the ladders up to clean out the gutters before the rains come.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so if we see you diving for your phone, given all those other things that are going on in your life, we'll know that you're probably chasing down a credit card somewhere or whatever. But don't
that was
hesitate.
Not my
Get
charge.
All that stuff
don't
straightened
charge.
Out.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Susie Murphy, it is a pleasure to have you with us today. How's your week been, and what's going on in your world on Vashon Maury Island?
Well, thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here as well. I've been here in Glen Acres worrying about the smoke alternately and worrying about the lack of rain and figuring if I can get my Wordle guest in six tries, it's a good day. that's sort of been where I am. Productively speaking, I've gotten out postcard, get out the boat postcards to Georgia and Florida, and gotten them, my husband and I have gotten them in the mail. So
good.
We feel pretty productive about that.
Awesome. You know, Debbie Jackson joined us on Small Talk a few weeks ago and talked about the Vashon to Voters postcarding effort. And she has just announced, by the way, 12,825 postcards have been sent from Vashon. Wow. So, Susie Murphy, thank you for writing a bunch
thank
of those.
Thank you, everybody.
Boy, awesome. Boy, that's amazing.
All right. And also, Jenna Riggs, you're involved in a lot of things on Vashon Island. I'm glad you could join us to talk about immigrant refugee rights, but how are you doing on Vashon Maury Island these days?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's really great to be here. So everything everyone's been talking about, I'm like, oh, that and this and that and that. So many things going on. So in my backyard, I am a new beekeeper. I'm in my second year of beekeeping, and the bees have been ready for winter for a while now because that was what I was supposed to do. And it's still, you know, so nice. So anyway, I think come Friday, I'll feel good, you know, that I've got them all ready and been treating for mites and all that stuff. So that's all looking good. And then inside the house, been writing postcards too, and still, you know, trying to make my deadlines. I have piles of postcards, and I went to pick up postcards last night at the postcard depot, and it was empty. She needed to put more in. So we've got lots of people writing, which is really great. And then I've also been, last night I was going through the last little bit of grants. So I'm on the Vashon Pi board, and it's grant time. So teachers have turned in their grant requests. We're going through those. It's a big ask this year. So hopefully we'll be able to fund as many of those grants as we can. So that's an exciting time as well.
Cool. Right. And that is Partners in Education.
Partners in Education. Yes.
Awesome. Hey, do you want to comment, by the way, on King County's purchase of the farmland on which these sheepdog trials?
Right.
Is?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm involved in the sheepdog trials as well. I have no official news. I think there's going to be an announcement coming out shortly, though. So, yeah, we'll wait. We'll wait. We're going to get our news directly from the Vashon Sheepdog Classic. So, but we're awesome. I, as an Islander, I'm just so happy that King County bought that property, you know, regardless of if we ever get the trials again. It's just such a beautiful place, so important. I mean, I'm just very, very thankful for them, for and all the people who are involved in making that happen. So
if only they don't plant trees. Please,
right.
Please don't plant trees. That's all I have to say.
Can they do sheepdog trials under solar panels?
Yeah, right.
Tons of questions come to mind.
That's right.
But before we jump into the topic that we are here to discuss on Small Talk, I do just want to also mention Stacy Oaks. She joined us last week to discuss the Puget Sound Energy Tacoma LNG facility. And she wants to let us know, listeners, get out your pencils. She wants to let us know that the Tacoma premiere of the film Ancestral Waters 2022, which is about the Puyallup tribe and their treaty and the PSE gigantic tank being built out on their waterfront. That is going to premiere at the Grand Cinema in Tacoma Thursday, the 27th of October, and Sunday, the 30th of October. On Thursday, the doors open at 7. On Sunday, they open at 4:30. It's only $10 at the door. So fit that into your calendar and follow up on that insight that Stacy provided us last week. So, okay. Other than that, hey, I was out boating a little bit. I saw a whole bunch of dolphins chasing up a whole bunch of fish. This was south of the Narrows, between Fox Island and the peninsula. So yeah, a lot of activity under the water. It's good to see that. And otherwise, I'm also looking forward to a little bit of rain so I don't have to keep watering the trees in my backyard.
There you go.
But let's see. Immigration issues continue to be really front and center in national politics. And believe you me, we are going to be hearing about that for the next 3 weeks. And it's also high in the minds of most Vashon Maury Islanders. Working together, Susie and now Jenna have led the Immigrant Refugee Rights Work Group for over 5 years. I thank you both for being here to discuss that important contribution to immigrant and refugee rights. And I'd like to first ask to tell us a bit about yourselves. Maybe Susie, you could start us off.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. Well, to begin with, I grew up on Vashon. Went to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, Vashon Elementary School. My great-great-grandparents homesteaded here down at Clam Cove, which is California. And my husband and I returned back to the island after our children had grown, now nearly 26 years ago. And I have been professionally in my life a public school educator and a mom and a grandma. And so I've been back to Vashon now for going on close to 30 years.
Wow. Woo-hoo. Yeah. All right. And an educator included, I think, yes, some administration work. I mean, you ran a school, right?
I taught and at kindergarten through graduate programs in Virginia and Washington and California for over 4 years.
Wow.
Before I retired.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, Jenna, you've already told us about several things you're involved in, but what else would you like to add for our listeners?
Well, I do work full time. I'm a graphic designer and illustrator, and I have a studio here on the island. One of the projects I'm looking at, Bruce, I got to work on last year. Well, it's been a couple of years now. Got to work on the Natural Wonder exhibit at the Heritage Museum, and that was really an amazing project. I've got two girls. They're both in college, so we're just now finally getting into the swing of being empty nesters, which is fun. It was kind of stop and go there for a while with COVID. So, yeah, and I'm involved in lots of things on the island. And what else? I love it.
Wait a minute. You have two girls in college. What kind of enhancement are you using?
I was going to say, I think she had them at 12, if you ask me. You know,
if only our listeners
could see. I've got the filter.
Exactly. Wow. Wow. I'm impressed.
All right. And now that they're gone, the bees are in and you're staying busy. I love it.
That's right. Fantastic. Yep, exactly. Yeah, my husband actually said to me last night, he thinks I need more things to take care of around here. He thought maybe pygmy goats would be a next best step because I need more to do. Yeah.
Pygmy goats bouncing around.
Oh, I'm telling you, baby goats. Yeah. Yeah. When I come across baby goats on the internet, I'm hooked. I can't watch anything else. They're just the cutest.
That's right.
All right. Well, when we start seeing baby goats in your graphic design work, then we'll know.
Right. That yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, you know, you have both been very involved in the immigrant refugee rights work group. What was the motivation to create that, and kind of how did the group get started?
Well,
maybe Susie, you
start. I'm gonna go ahead and jump in, Kevin. This is Susie, and just say that the election in 2016 was a motivating factor for me. It was a distressing election and motivated me to want to move forward and do something to protect democracy in this country. And as an educator and a retired educator, I had experiences all across the country. I'd worked as a student teacher in barrios in Fresno, California. I'd taught in the mountains of Southwest Virginia. I was a principal in public schools in Seattle and worked for the city of Seattle in their Families and Education Levy shortly after I retired for a year and a half or so. So I'd had lots of experiences with families and I'd seen the impact of immigrants on this country, the benefits that they offered to the country, the advantages that they brought to us as a community. And in the schools, I had an opportunity to see how fragile their existence in this country was, whether they were documented or undocumented, because they were othered by most of us in this country who lived here and who saw them as just people that drifted in and drifted out. And it was it was heartfelt to me. I would come into school on a Monday morning and it was not uncommon to see a child or a mother sitting in my office or in the family support worker's office in tears because a partner or a husband had been picked up during the weekend and detained. So when we had an opportunity to form Indivisible Vashon, I gladly participated along with other people, and we started the immigration refugee rights group, immigrant refugee rights group at that time. And part of it was the realization that I had that I thought I understood immigration in this country, but I really didn't. And when we started out as a group, we started educating ourselves about what immigration laws were like in this country, what policies existed. And it was shocking to discover that I had as much as I cared about the community, as much as we cared about what was going on, we had been putting our heads in the sand all these years about immigration. And from my perspective, I had been. And that was an important learning experience for me. So that's where it started for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, Susie, if we can sort of stay with that theme, you personally stay on top of immigrant issues and bring those, you know, to the attention of the work group. What type of actions have you brought to the attention of the group lately? What's current?
Well, that's a good question. One of the things we try to do is stay active, and it's amazing how much is in the news. Just turn on the news and we can see things that are connected to and related to immigration issues. But you've probably heard about the governors in Arizona and Florida and Texas who have, for optical reasons, sent buses of migrants or planes full of migrants to the front door of the vice president, to Martha's Vineyard, to communities where they believe that there is more affluence and perhaps a more a willingness to accept people who are coming to this country. And there, the word that we have been hearing is that they may be coming here, that we may be getting busloads of people. So that is something that groups around Seattle, around the Pacific Northwest, are beginning to prepare for as a possible action that's going to be happening. We pay attention to things like the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And that's been in the news a lot lately. We were hopeful that the DACA program would be codified, would be somehow or other put into law, but it is going right now through the courts. Our Congress isn't able to decide on it, so it's going through the courts, and it's not being well received at this point. And then there's a program in Tacoma called Advocates for Immigrants in Detention in the Northwest, and its acronym is AID Northwest, AIDNW, and they do amazing work. And so we want to talk a little bit about that during this time period as well.
Could I ask a question? Yeah, I just want to ask a question about DACA. Now, if I understand it correctly, DACA would be children who are actually foreign-born but brought here as children. And that's not children of illegals that are born here, because they are considered American citizens, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so there's a difference between those two groups.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Craig.
Yeah, I have a question about that whole Texas-Florida transmitting immigrants to various places. It's my understanding that karma is coming back to bite the governors in the butt. I can say that. That's one of the words I can say.
That's not one of the band six. Yeah, go,
that's
for,
right.
go for it.
That's
seven.
Right. Yeah. The that they are entitled to a special visa because they were the subject of criminal activity or something to that effect. Is that your understanding as well?
I don't know.
Okay.
I had not heard that.
That's one to keep your eyes.
But they may well be. I know that there are a number of immigrants who are finding that it is, though challenging, to be picked up and put on a bus and taken somewhere where they didn't know where they were going. And many of them were anxious about little things they knew about the places they were being sent. Like when they were sent up to Martha's Vineyard, they were worried that it was going to be cold in the winter. But they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know why they were going. And when they arrived, it was very confusing. But they are finding that many times in the Northeast, they've been able to get more resources than they were able to access at the border. And that is partly due, of course, to the climate at the border and partly due to the resources that are there.
I thought you were being quite charitable when you talked about how maybe the governors or the states were sending these individuals to places like Martha's Vineyard because the individuals up there might be a little more understanding or whatever the case may be. When my suspicion is it's more punitive action on their part rather than quite the charitable motivation that was implied. So
it'd be interesting to see how the history books do record this. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jenna, I do want to also, so you've been involved with the Immigration Refugee Rights Group, and now you are leading that group. So I'm curious, you know, what drew you into the group? And I know you've been leading some actions just over the last couple of years here, right on Vashon. What can you tell us?
Sure. So I love everything that Susie said about why she joined the group. And I think that that's probably goes for a lot of the people in our group, that same sense of injustice and really feeling like we needed to do something. We couldn't just sit by and be quiet as people were. It's not new, right? I mean, the immigration thing, othering people, none of that is new, but it was so loud and so dramatic and drastic at that in the aftermath of that election, that I think people felt like I can't just sit by and do nothing, you know, while this happens. So, and we could have led with this as well, that for those of us who can't see us, Susie and I are both white women. And so, you know, we're coming at this issue from only from our perspective. We can't ever, say that we're speaking for anyone else other than ourselves, right? It's not my lived experience. But I can say that I want to work for a world where we all matter, where we care about people if they're in need or for whatever reason that we're all brought together, that building community is the most important part of that, of the human experience. And so, that's my motivation. And I have learned an amazing amount. I mean, I did think I knew a little about immigration and I knew nothing. Like I knew absolutely nothing. And when we look back on the work that we've done with the group, we have taken actions and we have raised money and we have done education. But I think probably the biggest takeaway for us when we talk about it is that what we've personally learned and how we've been able to apply that to other parts of our lives as well, and not just our group, but to other, you know, other actions we take in our lives. So, in with the group, we have done some things. You know, there was a really amazing art exhibit by Alex Clark a couple of years ago, where she made really funky, cool things out of driftwood that she had found, and she called it Drifting for Love, and it was wonderful. We had it at the hardware store on a pop-up, and it was really exciting. We've done, we've sold cards, we've did a concert. There's been some other things that we've done, but yeah.
Myrna Heck did at the time the Island Poet Laureate, and she did a poetry reading, and she does an incredible amount of work with refugees off island, and just an amazing, amazing poet.
Nice. Truman, I think you had a question.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's a comment. I'm originally from Texas and I have a lot of relatives who still live in Texas. So when the whole building the wall business came up, you know, I really didn't know, like all of us who live up here don't really have any idea what that's really all about. And so I called my cousin, who is a retired county judge and a rancher. He owns a ranch property. And I asked him, I said, Sam, what do you think about this? What do you think about the wall? And do you think it's reasonable? And what's the deal? And he said, well, he doesn't know that the wall's really going to do anything but at that time. But he said, we really do have an illegal immigration problem here in Texas. He said, you know, he has friends who have farmers and ranchers who have people coming across their property and doing damage and all, you know, all of those things and all of the problems that those people have to deal with. And it kind of brought it home to me that, you know, we up here really don't have an idea about what's going on and how can we educate ourselves and how can we help those people, both the ones coming across and the folks who are living there, work this problem out? And what can we do up here to affect that? And that's, I guess that's my question to you guys.
Oh, Truman, I wish we knew.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
There's a really beautiful segment in a movie that you can probably find on streaming called Paper and Glue about a French artist. Have you seen that?
I do know that. Yes, I've seen it.
View of the border of the wall with a photograph of a child over the top of it. Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it's only in art that we can have that kind of compassion and figure out what to do. This history of immigration laws and policies is so convoluted and so complicated, and it just needs to be completely revamped. Yeah. And we don't have the will right now as a country to do it.
And speaking of laws, I think, Craig, that's the, Craig, you had a comment you wanted to.
I do. A couple. One is, Truman made reference to some of his friends and relatives in Texas, which always scares me. and in Montana. The rallying cry you hear from the right to a certain degree is that Biden has just opened the borders. The borders are just wide open, and the people are spewing into the country, and we need to do something, because once we lose our country, we lose it forever. I'd like you to comment on that, but there's another aspect about that I found interesting. Is my understanding is that with increased border security, the tradition, if you will, of coming into the country and then leaving the country after the season, the working season was over with, has been made much more difficult, and people are afraid to leave the country and go back to Mexico or points south from there, for fear that they'll never ever get back in again, or they'll get arrested as they leave the country. But do you have any general comments about that rallying cry by some that Biden has just opened the borders and there's no regulation down there at all?
Do you want to speak? Susie has numbers.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't have the numbers. I wish I did. I know that there have been surge after surge at the border. I know that they have not been surges they've been unprecedented in some cases during the Biden administration. I mean, we've had lots of people come, and the speculations about why they're coming are that there was some thought that once the Biden administration came in, that it would be more like it used to be, or we would be more welcoming. And so I think that they said at the point of the transition between the Trump administration and the Biden administration that they were fearful that sense that the United States was now going to be open was perhaps pervasive for people living in Central America and Mexico. Now, whether that was true or not, I don't know. But I do know that people in Central America and in South America and in Mexico are struggling for so many reasons, and those reasons have not improved. And so many people are coming to the border seeking some kind of relief for them and their families and their loved ones.
So this is a perfect segue. In the full disclosure, in the 1950s, when I lived in Texas, my father was a cotton farmer. And every year he brought in hundreds of workers to work to pick the cotton. And this was a federal program where these people came, thousands and thousands came across the border. And they came and inspected our facilities. I mean, the government did. They had to make sure that we had proper care for these people and that we were not overworking them and all of those things. And that was an excellent program that we, ran for years. But the difference, I think, is the fact that what you just mentioned, all of those folks in Central and South America did not have the impetus to come because of the problems that they were having in their country. They had their goals were to come here, make money to support their families, you know, back at home, not to escape, you know, the bad stuff that was going on in their country. So I think that's been the big change, and that's one of the reasons that the people in Texas anyway can't quite get a grasp on this difference, because it used to work so well and now it doesn't. So
Yeah, this is Jenna. So I would want to mention, I would like to mention one other thing too, which is it's not just, you know, the Central America, some of the South American countries that are experiencing reasons to leave. We also have a lot of Haitian immigrants coming in. And climate change is undeniably driving a lot of this as well. So political unrest, climate change. I think going back to one of the questions earlier about what can we do, what can be done. I think there is always something to be done, even if it doesn't, you know, if in this conversation today, we're not going to fix immigration policy because, you know, that would be a miracle. So, but there are things that you can do, you know, we have a list of groups that can be supported right now of immigrants that are coming in that need assistance, legal assistance to help get through a very complicated system of applying for asylum, for a refugee status. I mean, we're talking about refugees as well, not just immigrants or undocumented people coming through. So there are those groups we can support. There are also other national groups that are lobbying for changes in immigration policy that you can get involved with and support. I think letting our senators and representatives know that this is an important issue for you, and supporting legislation that slowly makes its way through, letting people know that it is important, you know, that we realize that it's very complicated, but I think there are compromises that can be made so that folks in Texas who definitely are dealing with things that we do not have to deal with. I mean, that's obvious, but I think there are humane ways of doing it that could benefit both people seeking shelter and jobs and security and safety, and also you know, being good for American business and for just our society in general. So,
Sherman.
Yeah, I got one more. So let's bring it home. We have a very large Latino population here on the island. And I don't know how many of those are undocumented. I mean, do we know? I mean, do we really know? And how can we support and help those folks? I mean, we can do that on the local level, correct?
I mean, that's a great question, Drew. Mm-hmm. Just great. And that was where we started. There are, in fact, a number of groups on the island that work with and are Latinx-led and are very supportive of Latinos or immigrants living on the island, whether they're Latino or Asian or East Asian. And those we have done what we can to support those groups, but I just want to say we're a small little group. We are just a group of islanders who got together and wanted to figure out what we could do. And we started, as Jenna said, by educating ourselves, but we moved on then to connect with groups on the island and off the island. And they're the local groups that support immigrants and refugees off the island. They're all over in the region, and they're incredibly wonderful and do amazing things. Northwest Immigrants Rights Project is pro bono attorneys who they work with immigrants who are undocumented or are seeking asylum or are trying to get some kind of support so they can be here legally and stay.
And it seems like just last year, the group did some work to raise awareness about immigrant-owned businesses on Vashon and helping make people aware of these groups that they could be part of. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think you're talking about the Indivisa Gather program that we took part in. Our group was able to get a grant from Indivisible National for community building. And so in normal times, that would have been, let's have a community party and everybody can show up in person and we can, you know, have a fun time reconnecting. But with COVID, you know, we weren't able to do that, but we still were able to get that grant. And so the idea from the group was, let's do community building and also connect with some other businesses that people may or may not have been able to try before. And so we contacted four vendors, two Spanish-speaking vendors and two Arabic, for my Arabic families, and worked with them to get money out into the community so that people could buy their food, basically, go, you know, to their businesses. And it was really fun, actually. We worked with each vendor, and they got to decide how they wanted to distribute the money, how they wanted to run the program. Some of them did gift cards, some did like a one-day event. And we did some posters and some different coupons in Spanish, Arabic, and English. And it was just an invitation for the public to, and the Vashon community to meet their neighbors, try some new food, be curious. And I think it went really well. So.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. I know also, Jenna, you mentioned that, you know, the service of, you know, immigrants who come into our system and they don't necessarily have, certainly they don't have English as a first language. Mm-hmm. My expectation is there's just some language service support. Is that true as well?
I'm not sure. I know if you go like to the school district is... Mm-hmm. provides those services, and they have a wonderful woman who works with the school district to make sure that the families are connected with services and translators and all the things they need. So was there something else, another program you were thinking of?
No, just wanted to get your perspective on that. Now, we, of course, want our listeners to know how they can get involved with the work group. What's the best way for folks to contact, get in touch with you guys?
Sure. So I would say we would love any participation in this topic and with our group. If you'd like more information on joining the Indivisible Vashon Immigrant Refugee Rights Group, you can go to indivisiblevashon.org, and there's a little link to an action page, and you can send an email there and just let us know you'd like to be added. And if you do that, we will add you onto our mailing list, and you can get Susie's monthly wrap-up, which I'll tell you has up-to-date, very relevant articles, what's changing, court decisions, actions that you can take both nationally and locally. And it's a gem it's a wonder of a wrap-up. So I would highly recommend that for anyone who's interested.
And I would just add, Kevin, that if people do get on the mailing list and do come to our meetings, we have monthly meetings, and they're at noon on the second Wednesday of the month, and we've been doing Zoom so they can be safe. And if they do join, there are opportunities that we try to promote every month for action, for things that people can do, whether it's something here on the island, like writing letters to people who are in detention, whether it's something like going off island and supporting people who are visiting people who are in the Northwest Detention Center over in Tacoma. Mm-hmm. So there are actions that people can do, volunteer actions that people can do, and they can get informed by joining the group.
I'm glad you mentioned the Northwest Detention Center, because I know you've been supporting folks who emerge from there with communication support, clothing, other donations. Any other questions folks have for Susie or Jenna before we jump into other activities? Truman?
Well, just one more comment. You know, I've been very interested in immigrants for a long time. We had it at Alaska Airlines, my former employer, a captain whose father was a seasonal worker. And he would come up to the Willamette Valley and work. And all of his children were born in the United States, so they were all U.S. citizens. But he and his wife were both immigrants. And he finally, the father finally, I don't know how he did it, but anyway, he became a citizen. And the only job he had was a janitor at the high school. But this one son got an appointment to the Air Force Academy, and went to the Air Force Academy, became a very senior pilot with Alaska Airlines. And anyway, it's just the true American story, you know, that that we need to promote amongst folks, that these people are important. They provide a wonderful service to us and become productive citizens, U.S. citizens. So anyway. Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point I was listening to, Bruce, did you have a comment?
You're muted, Bruce.
You're muted at the moment, if you had a comment.
I just had a question for Jenna and Susie. I mean, obviously the issue here is we need comprehensive immigration reform. You know, it's been 100 years since America started closing the door on immigration, except for Asian immigration, which closed earlier. But, you know, the Immigration Acts of 1924 basically changed the nature of immigration in the United States. What's the prospect for getting that kind of comprehensive reform? Is it an impasse that we'll never break, or what can we do to break that impasse?
I think we can vote.
I'm sorry. Oh, vote.
I think we can vote. Oh, okay. Jenna, you want to say about get out the vote? It's kind of a segue into that.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, Bruce, that's such a great question. And I think it's one of the questions why we're still in this discussion, is because it's so complicated. And depending on who you talk to and where you live, and it's incredibly complicated. But it's also an easy issue to rile up people about. And that's, I think, the part that we're, as people of the world, we're trying to make it harder for that to be such an easy go-to, you know, the othering and looking, like Truman was saying about, you know, people, there's so many good things about being a multicultural country and a multicultural society that we need to focus on that. And hopefully from that, we can change hearts and minds. But in the meantime, we can vote for politicians who do believe in a multicultural society, who aren't going to go to the hate pile as their go-to to get people out to vote. And I will say I would like to let people know that Indivisible Vashon is doing a goofy costume party on October 29th to get out the vote. And the idea is wear a costume that, it could be patriotic, it could be goofy, it could be on something that you value, you know, put on your salmon costume, whatever. And we're going to meet at the parking lot at 9:45 on the 29th and have some refreshments, walk on the boat. And we're going to pass out flyers and talk to people and make sure they've turned in their ballot, or that they're registered, or that if they're not registered, they have 2 more days to register, and just have a fun time, because we haven't had a lot of fun in the last couple of years. And it's time to get out and let loose a little bit. So we'd like to invite everybody to do that. And you can register for that also on indivisiblevashon.org.
All right, 9:45, North yep. End parking lot.
North End parking lot.
Refreshments. And
we're going to ride the triangle route. I should have said that. We're going to get on, get off, get on, get off, and talk to people on the ferry and pose for photos and be silly.
We broadcast that across the state of Washington. So who knows how many other people will be waiting at those ferry terminals in their costumes to join
us.
So right. It'll be quite the day.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Thanks for all of that. Hey, unless there are any other questions for Jenna or Susie, we, of course, welcome you to stay with us for the next 10 minutes or so while we discuss national issues. But some of them are related to what we've already discussed. For example, retired Lieutenant Army General Michael Flynn is again in the news, uniting militia groups, QAnon theorists, election deniers and conservative Christians claiming that America is in the midst of spiritual warfare and claiming that many Americans are evil and don't think and act like us. What's it briefly to do?
How do you become a member of that group? It's like the Crusades. It's us against them. It's that it's fomenting further division, replacement theory, which is of course relevant to our prior discussion. The whole religious thing. I don't consider myself part of the lieutenant's, or I should say, Army General Michael Flynn's position, and I'm offended that I'm supposedly godless. I think it's not about religion; it's about character. It's about love. That's what it's about. There will always be people there who will play on individuals who are incredulous.
You ask in your notes, you ask me what my Army buddies think of General Flynn. You know, I don't have an answer to that, but I do have an answer to that. Biden has given our country away. That's what we're hearing. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from these. He's given it away. And when I say, well, to whom is he giving it? I get a really nasty response. But truly, that's where it's at. They're taking something away from me. You know,
zero sum.
Yeah. And I find that really fascinating. I did query them about, in fact, I sent them a thing about the an excerpt from Liz Cheney's opening remarks of the last January 6th, which was brilliant. I mean, her whole comment thing was brilliant.
How did that go over?
Well, it was interesting. the whole January 6th committee is a dog and pony show for the Democrats. I mean, that was the response.
I wish it was a Democrat that testified it.
Well, I wrote back to them and said, hey, guys, what I think this was a review of a coup attempt that failed and that we had darn well better pay attention to how it failed. Because somebody who's a smarter Trump could come along and make one that succeeded. And, you know, I didn't get much response to that. It's still the us and them. It's very interesting.
Well, like I've said before, it's much, much easier to defraud someone than it is to convince them that they've been defrauded. And once you're in that tribe of individuals who thinks the other side is looking down on them, it's tough to break through that. And there are efforts being made, and people talking to one another, but certainly there's an overwhelming effort to divide.
Well, what I've been trying to do with those guys is to say, I agree with this part of what you're saying, because there will be some part of it that makes sense. And I'll say, I really agree with that. But where I disagree is this point over here, trying to engage them. And you know what? It's working. They are one in particular is actually beginning to talk to me a little bit rather than, you're one of those guys. Interesting.
The glacier is beginning to melt, perhaps.
Yeah, it's starting to move a little, maybe.
Okay. Well, I will have to say, as a descendant of Irish and Italian immigrants to this country who didn't face a warm welcome when they arrived, it is a shifting landscape. Those who have my family heritage know exactly what we're talking about now with the new arrivals, but maybe even worse, given the disruption of climate disruption, food security issues, and so on. I'll also say that I read an article recently about Germany, who is the article was very concerned about the Germans' ability to staff their industry. And of course, they are a major manufacturing country who exports a lot of very high-end products. And they're wondering how they're going to be able to keep a workforce. And immigration was the only easy way, right, that you could do that. And that leads me to another comment where our own Representative Jayapal was making her case for the value that immigrants provide. And she cited people like agricultural workers, people who, you know, if you've ever gone to a hotel, you know, somebody had to make that bed you slept in. But the part that I saw working in the technology industry is the PhDs who come over when either Microsoft or the Boeing company wasn't able to find enough educated and talented technology workers, and the richness of those workers that could come in from overseas and be able to help build the products that we build here in the United States. So it is a very multifaceted thing. So the last thing, we are down to the last 4 minutes, and I just want to comment on maybe bad boys comeuppance. The Department of Justice asked a federal judge Monday to sentence former Trump advisor Steve Bannon to 6 months in prison. That's going to happen on Friday. For years, the conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, Brother Jones, spread lies about the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary, falsely claiming that none of the victims actually died and their relatives were crisis actors. Now he's been ordered to pay almost $1 billion to those families. And the U.S. Congressional Committee investigating last year's Capitol riot, of course, issued a legal summons for former President Donald Trump to testify. Craig, you are our legal expert. What do you think? Is the wall beginning to crack and the bad boys comeuppance?
We're starting to see. Yeah, something. People are, you know, I've always said that I'm one of those few people who believes that our former president will be convicted and actually imprisoned. And I, you know, months and months ago, people laughed at me, and they're not laughing at me quite as much, but they're still laughing at me.
Yeah.
You're still laughing.
Yeah,
at me.
I am. Yeah.
But, you know, they're all victims, of course. You know, they're all victims, and the people who go to jail are the victims. That's sort of the way you rationalize it if you're mm-hmm. on that side of the coin. And you sort of go, well, you know, that's okay. Let's move on. We still have our causes, and I don't know. I mean, will it change anybody's mind on that side? Not very many. Will it end up with people actually having consequences to their actions? Yes, it will, which I mm-hmm. think is a good thing.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, and Bruce, as our historian, I'm just curious, any estimate of how many pages are going to be needed to document all this stuff in, you know, the next version of history books?
It all depends on the election next month and the election in 2024. You know, if those elections go south, if you will, and, you know, and we see a Republican sweep, there's going to be chapters in history books about this time period. You know, if, you know, and I think both Susie and Jenna, you know, hit the nail on the head. People need to get out and vote, and people need to vote their conscience. And if that happens, you know, this will be a footnote. You know, if not, it will be chapters. So,
okay. I find that really interesting, Bruce. Do you think that if the right wins, they're going to be chapters about this, vice versa?
Well, yeah. I think American democracy is on the brink.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think, you know, if the DeSantis's and the Abbotts and the Trumps of the world win, yeah. we will not have an American democracy.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Grew up with. Okay. That's going to be the chapters. If they're defeated, it's going to be a footnote.
Okay. Got it.
Got it. Thanks for clarifying that. Mm-hmm. Craig, why don't you tell us about our small talk guests next week?
Well, next week we have representatives of the Vashon Healthcare District will be back. Telling us what the latest is in the never-ending story and about our health care and the property they purchased and the relationship with CMAR. And CMAR, by the way, will be here 2 weeks later on Election Day, November 8th. We'll have Mary Bartolo, the Executive Vice President, Jesus Sanchez, the Senior Vice President of Operations, and Mike Leone, the Vice President of Corporate and Legal Affairs. They'll all be here on the 8th talking about their perspective on all of this. So tune
in. Wonderful. More things to look forward to. Also, make sure to tune in on Tuesday, November 22nd, for the Brown Briefly reunion. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah.
We're all going to gather a number of us Brieflies together to share a retrospective.
That
so for
fun.
Susie, Jenna, Bruce, Truman, and Craig, I'm Kevin Jones. Hope you will join us next Tuesday for the next edition of the Brown Briefly.
See y'all next week.
Bye now.